The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. So Carson Wentz is the buzz around the NFL today, and I don't know, he's beaten the Browns and the Bears. Rex Ryan decides to talk about the perfect time playing the Cardinals. I actually, when I first heard this story, I thought, and here's the thing, when you hear something versus seeing it, when I heard it, it's like, okay, he's nuts. He's trying to get himself fired. I think he's going to be fired anyways. But when you say it's the perfect time to play the Arizona Cardinals, and then you follow that up with, oh, and by the way, we have New England the week after that, and we just let go of our coordinator. You know, Rex Ryan's going to get his ticket punched, and he'll be just fine. He'll be just fine. In fact, when I watched the clip yesterday, and we'll bring that to you here in a minute, of him talking about the Cardinals, it's just kind of this look about him of, I don't care. I don't give a bleep. I'm going to be sitting on the desk at Fox next year. I'm going to be sitting on the desk at ESPN next year. I'm going to be sitting on the desk. Say all you want about Rex Ryan being in a clown show, and I've said it over and over and over, that wherever he goes, there's this shelf life. Sounds really great. Gets a lot of headlines. Please show results. Not happening. Same thing going on in Buffalo. He's really good on camera. He's just very, very good on camera. Like, I think Bruce Arians would be really good as an analyst. I mean, if he dropped a bomb or two on the air, like the other day, the replay that clearly showed and the Cardinals challenged, and it didn't go the Cardinals' direction on a replay that we all saw was wrong, the wrong call by the officials. And Bruce, I was reading lips, and it his lips had the sound of or look of an F floating off of them just a few times.
It'd be great if he were an analyst, because he would not hold anything back. You know, he would not skirt around an issue. He would not try to sugarcoat a player not playing up to his potential. He'd basically just say, yeah, well, that player is just not good.
But don't you think that in this day and age of broadcasters, because they're so ancestral with the NFL, that the analysts and the play-by-play guys are toning it, dialing it back some?
Pretty much, yeah.
Some of them. Yeah. Some of them. Like Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth were pretty much just killing the league last year, yeah, during the Goodell stuff.
That was the
during
first
Deflategate, they were killing the league.
Chris Collinsworth was the first name that came to my mind. I mean, he has been very, very critical of players, the league,
yep,
coaches,
yep,
staffers, mm-hmm, and now he has. It does seem to be pulled back a little bit. So,
well, and Arians is a player's guy. I mean, he'll. What was the great line about he's known me, I've only heard him call me effing dumbass,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
DJ Humphries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you've got that hanging around, there's this story about the Cardinals, by the way, before we hear from Rex Ryan, that we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show. Eric, do you have that? So the Business Journal, Mike Senex over at the Business Journal, did a piece on the Cardinals in black helmets. So we'll show that to you a little bit later in the show. If we have it, sure, go ahead and put it up over me. It's fine. Now, the Cardinals and Mark Dalton said that there's nothing to – Mark Dalton does their public relations over there – and that there's nothing to the black helmet and the Cardinals. Now, I look at this, and this is just schematic, obviously. This isn't anything that the Cardinals have leaked out or – have they leaked it out? You can deny it, but do you test balloon it? Do you throw it out there and say, what do you think? Have we seen black helmets around sports? And in this day and age of trying to get more and more gear and looking slicker, does that look like the Atlanta Falcons?
No, it looks like the Louisville Cardinals, who have pretty much, they wear a helmet
that is
quite
black,
frequently, pretty similar to that one. But it's fine. I mean, it's cool. Like when the Cardinals break out their black uniforms, I think those are pretty cool. So
we'll talk about this later.
Break out a black helmet, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you confuse me. Like we try to follow a little script here, and then
Brad
just sort of says, oh, we're going to do this here, and we're not going to.
We'll tease it. We'll just tease it. Have some fun.
Well, you just broke the tease. So.
No, well, I've got more to it. Let's go over to Rex Ryan here. So Rex Ryan, on his fifth coordinator, fifth since he's been an NFL head coach, offensive coordinator in seven seasons. So they just blow right through them. So this is Rex Ryan yesterday, and he's totally under siege because Ian Rapoport and Adam Schefter are saying that all is not well internally. I even think Eric hearing Peter yesterday, Peter kind of intimated that there was some stuff going on in Buffalo. So here's Rex Ryan explaining why and how that this is the perfect time at 0-2 to meet the Cardinals this Sunday.
You know, yet now it's like, all right, let's go, man. We're playing. You know what? This might be the exact team we need to play. It might be the best team in the league, and maybe that this is the exact team we need to play. And it's back-to-back weeks, by the way. You know, so you got Bruce Arians this week, and you got, you know, Belichick next week. So it's like, okay. I mean, it's probably there's a few more easier options than those two, but maybe this is exactly what we need.
Okay, so let's go back to hear the beginning of that again, because if you dissect it, what he's saying here, from a coaching standpoint, guys, put yourself in this position. Take the fandom out for a minute and put yourself in this position. Your team's 0-2. You have your backs up against the wall. You know who it is that you're going to play. You could do one of two things. You could get completely embarrassed, or you could come out and play and go up against the best. I'm one of those. I want to take on the best, and I want to beat the best. I am not one of those that wants to settle for anything secondary. So let's hear the top of this again from Rex.
You know, yet now it's like, all right, let's go, man. We're playing. You know what? This might be the exact team we need to play. It might be the best team in the league, and maybe that this is the exact team we need to play. And it's back-to-back weeks, by the way. You know, so you got Bruce Arians this week, and you got, you know, Belichick next week. So it's like, okay. I mean, it's probably there's a few more easier options than those two, but maybe this is exactly what we need.
All right. I now that I've heard it, because if you play a little soundbite and you're just hearing it and you don't see it, it's pretty easy to sit behind a microphone and say, the guy's an idiot. What's he saying? But that takes all the fun out of it. You have to actually see it. Now you can have some context to it. And as he's talking, I totally agree with him. He's not going to say, we're 0-2. We're going to be 0-4 in 2 weeks, and I'm going to get fired, which I think is what's going to happen out of all this. So when he's standing in there and taking the punches and the haymakers, like I asked Peter yesterday, is this a game that's of concern? And he basically blew it off. And I would tend to agree with him. The 10 a.m. start. Okay. Heard that through the years for 30 years. 10 a.m. start. Ooh, team's not ready to play. That was the case under Wiz. And I've not seen that as much under Bruce Arians. Nice little angle to throw up to fill a notebook with a note of what the Cardinals do in games that start at 10 a.m. Seen it. Easy, low-hanging fruit, as I like to say.
Well, and I think what's even more important than the game being played at 10 a.m. is the game is going to be in late September and not late December or
correct.
Early December or late November.
But
and
we
I don't think what Rex said he meant. I mean, let's be...
You don't think so?
No.
You think he's full of it?
Of course.
I think that's coach speak.
Of course. It is coach speak.
That's not being full of it.
You're playing the Patriots, and then you're playing the Cardinals, and then the Patriots. Wouldn't you rather be playing the Browns and then the Jags if you're trying to save your job? Or, as you said, does he just not even care that he's going to get fired?
He knows he's going to get fired.
Probably.
He's Buddy Ryan's son. Buddy was very calculated and very smart. Rest his soul. I'm not pounding on Buddy Ryan here. Buddy knew what he was doing. Buddy knew when he said what he said about Louis Sharp. Buddy knew what he said.
I don't remember what he said, but...
Nobody got hurt that mattered anyways.
Ah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That was the end of Louis. And there was already stuff going, but you know, and if Seth were here on the show today, if Seth Joyner on the show today, he's in Philly, he's traveling back. I sent Seth a text yesterday. Seth was with Rex in August, helping at their camp. So he was there helping with their defense. And I know there's people that are loyal to the end and love what Rex Ryan is all about, but there's just entirely too much about the coach and what the coach has to say and what a great soundbite he is. And that's just lazy on our part. We should not care. It's great that Bruce is here, but if the team weren't winning, don't care. Don't care. I don't need to go hear coach. I've heard plenty of coaches that can wow the media and can't win. I'm I don't know. I'm here to win, not to get a laugh and ha ha and what an easy day and this guy is so great. Oh, we can't believe he's being fired. Now that doesn't work. And the other side of it is I don't care if they're as dull as this white set that we have behind us. I love my set. But, you know, the white wall that's over there, they could be a blue dot on a blue wall. Doesn't matter to me. If they win, that's all that should matter. It shouldn't be about, you know, how entertaining they are with their press conferences for us. And you know, we get a free seat, a nice parking spot, some free food, and we get a coach that makes us laugh and the team blows. That does nothing for me. So if you're in Buffalo and you've got all this stuff swirling around and it's the Schefters and Rappaports that are reporting that there's total chaos, the Cardinals could go in there and put a 40-burger on the Bills and Rex would be done. This feels to me like he's up against the wall for this game.
And I wonder if the Bills are going to rally to his defense. Because the Bills usually are a very good home team. It's not like the Bills don't have talent. They have talent.
Well, that's the thing,
and I wonder if this is just we're going to be backed into a corner, and we're going to come out guns a-blazing on Sunday. We're 0-2. We've got nothing to lose. Our coach is about to get fired. And maybe they come out and play a great game. Who knows? The NFL, you think it's predictable, but it really isn't.
But okay, so let me flip it around on you. What if the Cardinals come out and beat him 52-0? Did the team just quit and say, get him out of here?
That will be the narrative, yes.
There's that side of it, too,
sure.
that are our backs against the wall, or is this team saying, this guy, we've seen this act, this is a tired act, we're not going to fight through this, it's over.
Well, and his brother's got to get run, too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And to think the two of them haven't talked about this train wreck. So it's the perfect time for the Cardinals to be playing Buffalo. I'll turn it around on that. But again, it's like I sat here all summer and said if they lose to New England, it's going to be a joke with no Brady and so on and so on and so on. And they lost to New England and without all those guys. And yet they were just a kick away from winning the game.
And like you said, it's week one of the NFL. And do these games in September and early October in the grand scheme of things really matter
well,
in the NFL?
But Eric, look at this. I agree with it. I have seen that, and these games are not as big a deal as they once were. There's players that are trying to just make it through this war of attrition. Today in Cleveland, they're looking for a quarterback. In fact, they're looking for their third quarterback. In New England, they're looking for a third quarterback. In Seattle, they're looking for a quarterback as the guy they have is hurt and banged up. In Dallas, they've gone to another quarterback. He's played well enough. In Minnesota, they had to go find another quarterback. That's five teams, okay, in 2 weeks. So when you're playing these 16 weeks plus the four preseason games, just go through where some of these guys got hurt or suspended. How are you going to make it through this season? If in this war of attrition, like if Carson gets laid out, nobody's going to know. And Carson has taken some hits the first few weeks. Not a bunch, but he's taken some. The injuries in the NFL, it's to me, it's alarming that so many quarterbacks are already down.
Well, and it's like the Steelers. Okay, they don't have Le'Veon Bell. They're still 2-0. And in the grand scheme of things, maybe him getting back at week five is going to be a blessing in disguise because he's not going to have a month's
yes.
worth of grind on his body
correct.
In the playoffs because the Steelers are going to make the playoffs because that's what the Steelers do every year.
But okay, then if you're the Cardinals, the same thing should happen here. I don't need to see Larry play in every single snap of every game
especially
season.
When they're way ahead.
I don't need to see, it's like when Carson was out of the game, okay? There was this big debate on the air about Jameis Winston still being on the field. If I'm Dirk Cutter, it's like we flew all the way out here and you guys haven't done anything right. I'm not going to take the easy way out and pull you off the field. No, you're going to take your medicine and get better.
And it's a learning experience for Jameis. I mean, Carson Palmer he's been through the wars. He doesn't need to be out there when the team is either getting their face kicked in or vice versa. It's a little bit different for Jameis. He's a young quarterback.
The Vin Scully call last night, we're going to get to that a little bit later on. So the Dodgers and Giants just don't like each other. That's been the way that it's gone. And Vin is retiring in less than 2 weeks. He had a classic moment last night. I want to bring that to you. USC's already blown up their starting quarterbacks. I've got some college football that's on my mind today. Our buddy Devin Allen's done for the season up at Oregon. That's too bad. A little bit about Cal as they get ready for ASU. And we're going to get into ASU on the other side with Derek Hagan. Derek Hagan, great receiver at ASU, went to the NFL, and now he's sideline reporting for Arizona State. He has been a part of the first two games with Jeff Van Rapphorst and Tim Healy. We'll have Derek Hagan in studio. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So this is a big week for Arizona State because they have Cal and they have them on Saturday night. I don't know if ASU is a great team or not. They're 3-0. They've played three teams that, quite frankly, they should have beat. They struggled with UT San Antonio. Let's not sugarcoat it. But I'm not the smartest guy in the world about that. Derek Hagan is. He joins us here in studio. Former great Sun Devil wide receiver, now part of the Sun Devil Radio Network. He hosts the pregame show for ASU, so as you're driving out there, you can hear that. He also is on the sidelines with Jeff Van Rapphorst and Tim Healy. Are they a great team right off the top? What do you see out of 3 weeks?
It's been very interesting. You know, obviously starting off with Northern Arizona, didn't know what type of team we were going to have this year. From what I liked, what they did was, you know, they won the game. You know, it was pretty basic what they did. It's pretty vanilla. But, you know, looking at last week's game against Texas Tech was really an eye-opener. You know, they really brought out all the stops against Texas Tech as far as being balanced on offense, you know, running the ball, Manny Wilkins making some great plays. And then last week was a trap game. It was one of those things where you sit there and think about it, like, hey, is this team ready to play? Are they ready for
Texas
Pac-12?
San Antonio?
Yep. And, you know, they were down 28-12, but they end up coming back and getting the job done.
What do you like about this team through three games?
I would say I like what they're doing. You know, as far as we knew coming into the season that Caleb Ballage and Damara Richards, they were going to be the focal point of the offense. You know, we did not know who the QB was going to be. Manny Wilkins was named the starter, and so far he's looked good. You know, at times, you know, he's made some mistakes. You know, coaches don't want him turning the ball over. He has thrown two interceptions, but that all comes with him being able to grow. And if he continues to grow and get better week in and week out, I think, you know, this team, they'll have a shot, you know, in the Pac-12. You know, not too many people are counting them in, but, you know, I think as long as they just stick to the game plan and make things simple, they'll eventually get there.
Okay, the night of Kalen Ballage 2 weeks ago, you're on the sideline.
Right.
So you're reporting down there. You see touchdown after touchdown after touchdown right in front of you. What struck you most, Derek, about Ballage's night against Texas Tech?
It was just unbelievable. You know, they brought out the Sparky formation, so nobody knew that was coming, you know, especially down in the red zone. You know, Texas Tech wasn't ready for it. You know, when's the last time a team has run the Wildcat? You know, ASU calls it the Sparky. So when I first seen it, I was like, wow. You know, that was something I used to do when I played with the Miami Dolphins. You know, we started a Wildcat down there, you know, with Ricky Williams and Ronnie Brown. So it was – it was nice to see, but who thought he was going to score 8 touchdowns in the game? You know, and for a guy that big, 6'3", 220 pounds, and he's probably the fastest guy on the team.
Right.
So he's an interesting character, but he's a player that ASU needs. You know, they're going to rely heavily on him and DeMario Richard.
When you see N'Keal Harry, you know, I remember a young Derek Hagan, big, long, lanky, now look at you. You're all yoked up, big man going through his thing, post-NFL career. What do you see out of N'Keal Harry so far? He's got the one-handed grabs down pretty good.
Right. N'Keal's amazing. I mean, you know, he's got all the accolades. He's a 5-star recruit, number one player coming out of Arizona last year at the receiver position. And it was good to see him stay home. You know, it's about time ASU's starting to get that local talent that they need, because if the local players are staying here, and especially a guy like N'Keal, you know, being a 5-star recruit, that's just a plus. It just makes other guys of that nature want to come here, because, you know, let's just say N'Keal did not come here this year. Who was going to be the other guys at receiver? You know, you got Tim White, you have Cameron Smith, but that X position wasn't solidified, and now N'Keal is here. So he's still raw. You know, he's still young, and he's definitely got a lot of room to grow. He's a freshman. I know he's going to break the freshman record. He's well.
It's got to hurt you, right?
But I don't have the freshman record no more. Zach Miller holds that.
But when you see him, does it hurt you a little bit? Like, this kid's going to shatter everything.
I think so. You know, all the records that I have, you know, he's. I hope he gets there. He's. You know, I've been holding on to him for the past, you know, 10, 11 years, so nobody's come close. But, you know, N'Keal, he's, what, 6'4", 225.
What can he do that you could not do as a freshman?
Man,
because you were just pretty talented,
right? I think with myself, you know, being when I came in, it was all about working hard and being confident and learning from the guys in front of me. You know, I had Sean McDonald, I had, you know, there was Justin Taplin, Daryl Lightfoot, you know, Skylar Fulton. These guys were in front of me, so I had some older vets that I can, you know, really watch. You know, Nikhil, he doesn't really have that. You know, there's right. He's coming in and he's expected to be the guy. So when you're the guy, it's like you have to perform. You know, he won the job in, you know, what, 30 days in camp, in training camp? So now it's just for him to be consistent week in and week out. Don't just show up 1 week and then not show up the next week. For him, it all starts in practice. And I think he's got a great coach in Jay Norvell that's, you know, that's going to doing the right things. Because, you know, Jay Norvell is a great recruiter. So if Nikhil's able to understand and listen to his coach, you know, the sky's the limit for him.
Before I let you go, then, from Nikhil and the offense, the defensive side of the football has been the big question mark from last year at the bowl game through three games this season. What do you see on that side of the football as they get ready for Cal Saturday night, big-time offense coming here?
Well, I think it hasn't been pretty. You know, obviously, the secondary is pretty bad last season. But, you know, it's a new year. Right now, they're not off to a good start, but I think they're giving up a lot of yards, a lot of points, but they're making the plays that they need to make in certain situations. Last year, they weren't able to create, you know, enough turnovers. You know, that's been a huge problem, and giving up too many big plays over the top. If they can eliminate that, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see, because, you know, Texas Tech and Cal, they both teams pretty much run the same offense.
Right.
Know? We know they're going to spread them out, they're going to throw the ball. But for a defensive player, it's hard to cover a receiver, you know, 4, 5, 6 seconds downfield. So that means, you know, the pass rush has to get to QB. You know, if we're not blitzing so many guys, I think that'll make it a lot easier on the guys on the back end, because there's no, you know, there's no Darrell Revis or Richard Sherman on the backside. You know, this is college football, so guys can't really cover receivers that long, because being a receiver, you know, I know where I'm going. The defender doesn't know where I'm going at times. So it's like it's easy for me to weave my way and get open. But they just got to stick to their man.
Appreciate you coming in. Thanks.
Thank you.
So on the baseball front, we'll have Pedro Gomez with us tomorrow. He was at Tim Tebow yesterday, or Thursday. Well, Pedro Thursday. That's right. He's been traveling. Nonetheless, on the baseball side, the Diamondbacks playing over in San Diego, the two worst teams in the National League West, and your hometown Heroes lost last night 3-2.
Did you watch the whole game in its entirety?
Zip. Would be the answer.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either.
Zip. I'm into Narcos. I'm just streaming Narcos on Showtime. I'm in season 2, and I went back and zipped through the Eagles and the Bears. But
yeah, I watch Carson Wentz. I know you're not high on him, but I think he's going to be. I think he's going to be a really good quarterback.
It's not that I'm not high on him, but please get back to me after you throw touchdown passes and beat Cleveland and the Bears. I mean, come on.
I know. But this was a guy that 3 weeks ago thought he was going to be the third string quarterback.
That's
and then,
true.
Oh, by the way, hey, yeah, you're not only the backup, but you're starting and you're our only quarterback. So go.
So go. Get it done. Unless you want to go get Michael Vick. Michael Vick's sitting around out there. I mean, who else are you going to go get at this point? Seriously. I did watch the online last night. I was surfing around and I saw the Bumgardner Puig little tit for tat. So here's the thing. The Giants are playing the Dodgers. The Giants, the second half of the baseball season, have been awful. Like the worst team in the National League, awful. The worst team in baseball. And they were just killing it early in the season. So here's these two teams. They hate each other anyways. The Dodgers are going to win the West. They're up by 6. The Giants are trying to get into the wild card. They're fighting the Mets and Cardinals and I'd say the Marlins for the last spot. All that the backdrop to Madison Bumgarner and Yasiel Puig. Puig and Bumgarner have had issues twice before. And now you got to throw Vin Scully into the mix, who's less than 2 weeks away from retiring, which is just a travesty for everybody because he's so good. He's miles and miles ahead of anything else out there. So that leads you up to this moment in last night's Dodgers-Giants game.
Bumgarner was furious, and we're wondering why. And on this play at first base, the fellas down in the field tell me that Bumgarner kept saying, hollering, I guess, at Puig, "Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Don't look at me." That's what it looks like he's saying. And the next thing you know, Puig is saying something to the effect, what are you going to do to me? What? What you do to me? What you do to me? So one saying what you do to me and the other saying don't look at me.
First base for number 9, Brandon Bell.
Oh, my gosh, that is so great. Vin Scully reading lips has been something that has gone on forever. It's one of the reasons why he is so good. I still get chills when I see him because I can think back to stuff as a kid growing up in Southern California and actually sitting in press boxes and visiting with him and having him on shows and all that stuff. And he's going to hang it up here in less than 2 weeks. What you doing to me? What you looking at? Just classic. Do you think, so good.
Do you think Vin Scully can get away with being a little bit racially insensitive with how he said that just because he's Vin Scully?
It's a good question.
Because the first time I saw that, my initial reaction was, wow, if that was pretty much any other broadcaster, you'd probably get a little bit of a poop storm this morning. Like, you may just want to tone it down on the undertones of how you're perceiving someone said something on the field.
Now, that would be perceived as blasphemous to some, what you're just saying. But I think it's a very fair point in this day and age of political correctness.
Of course, and it's such
a day and age of political correctness. I wasn't offended at all.
No, I wasn't either, but we're such a sensitive society sometimes.
Yes. Well, it's like the Kevin Harlan thing. Did you see that? So Kevin Harlan, the touchdown call we had last week where the guy gets on the field and Kevin Harlan is making fun of the guys at the 20 and 10. Oh, they tackled him and all that. He apologized to the league. Because he felt like he was making the league look bad. He didn't want to go do shows on certain networks. Jimmy Fallon wanted him to go on that show and go narrate traffic stops and people in downtown New York City.
That's such a shame.
And he said, well, it's a competing network, one. And two, I don't want people at the NFL to think I'm disrespecting the league because we're not supposed to make issues of that. And
someone took a ruler and hit him over the forehead over and over and over from the NFL. Like, why did you do this?
His dad was involved in the NFL and PR.
Huh?
So, look, when we have these things in front of us, these things here, we are just talking and seeing and reacting. I'm not at that level of Kevin Harlan. I'm not that level of Vin Scully. I'm an ant compared to them. But when you see something and you're able to describe it and capture the moment and have some fun with this, this is not brain surgery, okay? There are guys watching this right now that are sitting in their cubicle just miserable with their jobs. And we're here just yucking it up talking sports, and we're not that important. We are a distraction. That's what we're supposed to be. No, I wasn't offended at all by what Scully did last night. And I know you weren't either, but just the we are in that era of somebody somewhere. Oh, my gosh. That's a good point, Eric. USC's already changed their starting quarterback. Clay Helton is not – it feels to me like this season in college football – so we already had the Art Briles storm, and that's completely separate than this. That had nothing to do – with what happened on the field, but yet it had everything to do with what happened around the program. So he gets blown out. He's out there already doing the rehab circuit. He needs to go on Dancing with the Stars. It's much easier. My wife had that on for like 10 seconds last night, and I said, get that crap off. This is what is wrong when we take a guy that did what he did down in Rio and we just think this is funny and cool to put him on the air. It's just wrong. But I think Clay Helton... and you've got a new athletic director over there in Lynn Swan. I don't know, Eric, maybe the Pac-12 South this year, we're 3 weeks into it. It's early, but gosh, USC's going with Sam Darnold, who's a bigger kid. Max Brown had 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. They've already lost twice over there.
Say what you want about Pete Carroll and his time at USC.
Well, he cheated, but that's okay.
Well, I mean, most college programs do in
really?
Some in some capacity.
Serious?
Sure, even Stanford.
Come on. Shocking.
And they got caught.
Shocking.
Stanford.
Stunner.
Stanford would do that? Really?
Really?
Yeah, yep. Every school does. But you
mean
our
two schools here?
Correct.
Do?
You look at where they are now. I mean,
yeah.
Lynn Swan is your AD and Clay Helton is your head coach. You're USC. Clay Helton should be at, like, Utah State or UTEP or you know, a nice mid-major. He should not be the head coach at USC. You're better than that.
I had somebody who's very much a diehard Sun Devil fan. Very much. And this person is a big cigar. And he sent me a note. And he said, I saw David Shaw after the USC game and how he handled their win and where they are as a program. And he said, I see what Coach Graham says here. And it's like two different ways of approaching things.
Well, David Shaw is going to be an NFL coach. It's just a question of when. It's not a question of if. I mean, he's doing.
Are you saying Todd's not going to be?
I didn't say that. I'm just saying David Shaw acts like an NFL coach, runs the offense of an NFL team, coaches linemen and tight ends like an NFL team.
So the guy's point was David Shaw said after the USC game, we have plenty to work on. This was not our best effort.
A little flat, but they still won by 17.
They still won by 17, but his thing is, and we get Coach Graham who says we're 3-0. We're 3-0. And that there's, but that's Todd. Todd has that mentality. Bring it over to USC. Let's just say, Eric, we can sit here right now, 3 weeks into the season. Do I think there's going to be a coaching change at LSU at the end of the season? Depends on what happens in the Alabama game. But as I look at LSU, I think that job pretty much after the Wisconsin loss is what are we doing here? Okay, there's one place. USC, as I'm sitting here 3 weeks into the season, they're changing quarterbacks. They got a new AD in there. It's Los Angeles. You now have the NFL where they brought 90,000 fans in. Where all of a sudden it's like, hey, we could go to the USC game and watch football. No, they're not any good. Or we can go spend our money on the NFL. There's a new pressure in LA. I think that's a job that you look at and say, wonder what will happen there. You have Oregon. There's not been people that have been enamored with the coach that has been there since Chip Kelly left.
Okay? Which is crazy, thinking they were in the playoffs less than 3 years ago.
What happened to Oregon this week? And where are they at now? You know, Nebraska takes them down.
Yeah, but Nebraska was a home favorite, so that wasn't a huge... I mean, I don't think if you're an Oregon fan and you're looking at going to Nebraska and losing late as a bad loss, I can't see how that...
There's some grumpy people, though, around Oregon.
I guess, but you have a new quarterback. I get it.
Okay, Washington State. Mike Leach has done a great job. Mike Leach would be somebody that I could look at USC and say... Mike Leach in Los Angeles would do it, and he would do it really big.
Les Miles in Los Angeles.
No way. I would not. Really?
When Les Miles is fired, as you say, because he's going to get fired most likely, he will have a job within 4 days of him being let go.
Do you think he goes from LSU to USC? Is that a better job?
When Les Miles gets fired, they're going to put up his career win-loss record, and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, that guy won a lot of games playing in the toughest conference in the country.
They play Furman in November.
They just can't find a quarterback, and that will be his downfall.
How's Fournette grown under Les Miles?
He doesn't have to grow. He's already grown. He could play in the NFL today. He could have played last year in the NFL.
Do we think Houston's going to come open?
Depends on if A&M comes open. And right now, I don't think A&M is,
Do you think Mark Herman could go to USC?
Sure.
I think he could, too. I think he's going to be the hot guy this year, right? You know,
unless one thing happens with Herman. If they get into the playoffs and they get an invite to the Big 12, I don't think Herman leaves, because why would you? He's going to get $5 million if they get into the Big 12.
Okay. After what's happened to Oklahoma these first couple of weeks, mm-hmm. I think you and I have both felt for a while, correct me if I'm wrong, that his time there, he's done a great job. But sometimes things just come to an end.
Yeah.
Don't you think this is it?
The expectations for Oklahoma are so high. And they're so high at LSU, so... Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that this could be the end of the line for Stoops. But again, they made the playoffs last year. Like, it's not like they've been 8-5, 7-6, you know, 9-2. I mean, they were in the playoffs last season.
I understand that, but the expectations are. A&M plays Arkansas this weekend. That's a game, two ranked teams. If A&M loses that, they've gotten off to a nice start.
I think A&M wins this weekend. I've seen Arkansas, not super impressed.
Everybody's all wound up about Tennessee. They've got Florida this weekend. Florida's not going to have Del Rio. So I'm not all that enamored with Tennessee either. They're beat up.
And the only team, Brad, through the first 3 weeks of the – this team hasn't been great in the past but is probably going to be really good this year is Washington. I mean, Washington, I know they haven't played anybody, but they've just been rolling teams. And they're probably going to beat U of A. So they're there. They're going to be in the top six, seven. Tennessee, big expectations, fall flat on their face. TCU, big expectations, fall flat on their face.
Houston would be in the playoff right now.
OU, big expectations, fall flat on their face. Yeah.
Houston would be in the playoff. Alabama would be in the playoff. Stanford would not be in the playoff.
Houston needs Oklahoma to start winning games, though.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I agree with you on that. And Devin Allen, I want to get this in. Devin Allen, formerly at Brophy, tore his ACL, and he's out. There's something about Oregon trying to find a replacement for Mariota. I know it's not that simple, but there are some Duck fans even down here that I've heard from that aren't thrilled with what's going on. It's a short leash now in the college. It's just a short leash in coaching in general in football. It doesn't matter, even at high school level. I got nitwits emailing me about coaches they think should be blown out on the college level and at the pro level. On the other side, these black helmets that were online today through the Business Journal, I wanted to get back to that on the Cardinals. And a few other things in my mind today as we roll on. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmann. I'm going to go with these black helmets in a minute. I just got an email sent to me from someone in the broadcast world that has the TV ratings for Sunday on cable. So you know that on Sundays, the NFL gets all the numbers and all that stuff. The Cardinals got a 23, I saw. Whatever that means for some of you. If you have cable and it's Sunday, the number one watch show was Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. Do you watch that one, Eric? Are you into that?
Not anymore. I did watch it, and then I fell behind. And then
Jared,
I
you do that?
Punted.
You can nod your head. Do you do Fear of Walking Dead on AMC? No, not that one. Number two was NASCAR Sprint Cup Racing from Chicagoland on NBC Sports Network. And number three was Big Bang Theory. Actually, three Big Bang Theories and a show called Power 3 on Stars. I don't watch Stars. I bring it up because there's all the pregame shows for the NFL. Eric and I have been on this roll for, I think, a couple years now that people don't watch that stuff anymore and that's entirely too much made out of it. Let me list the shows that were ahead of NFL Countdown on ESPN. Fox and Friends Sunday Morning, NASCAR Sprint Cup Starting Lane, Big Bang Theory, Big Bang Theory, Big Bang Theory, Big Bang Theory, Power 3, Big Bang Theory.
I think Power 3, is that a cartoon?
I don't know. I haven't heard of it. Never heard of Power 3. Mm. A NASCAR Sprint Cup, and Fear the Walking Dead. So NFL Countdown on ESPN made it, but that's the only cable show that showed up. Like, the NFL Network is so far down the list still in terms of people watching it. And I think they have a better show. I think they have better analysts. I think they have a better look to them. And the fantasy shows are there. They're in front of Premier League. They are in front of, and some of you don't want to hear this because it's your sport or it's whatever. Poker made it. Drone racing made it. Drone racing people watched over the weekend. Didn't make top 10, but the number one sport over the weekend on cable was Sprint Cup. That leads us over to the Cardinals. So do they need to change their look? Now, Mark Dalton of the Cardinals denied that the Cardinals are considering this. This was a story that was put out by the Business Journal. Was put out by Mike Sonnix. I think Mike does a pretty good job. And the point of his story was, should the Cardinals consider, should, not will, should the Cardinals consider adding a black helmet? He spoke to some marketing people in town, some people that own advertising agencies and marketing firms, and said, and even season ticket holders. And they said, yes, the Cardinals should have a black helmet. That having a black helmet would make it so it's not your dad's Cardinals team, but it's a younger demographic, younger generation. Now, knowing how conservative the Bidwells have been through the years, I'd find that hard to believe. However, they have upgraded their uniforms, and Michael's done a nice job with the organization and keeping their look, or refreshing their look, or freshening it up, making it so it's one of the better looks. I think the black on black looks fine. I don't tune in to watch what a team dresses like to play football. I don't know. I just kind of see what the wins and losses look like. Seen lots of guys that dress like Tarzan, play like Jane. You know, if it makes you feel better, that's great. I do believe in that for kids. I don't know about grown men if they've got to have a sleeker, slicker look. If the team blows, the team blows. Buffalo may look great on Sunday, but I'm thinking the Cardinals are going to kill them. I think the Cardinals are going to crush them. And I don't sit here very often behind a microphone and say that. It's usually like, well, let's play it out. You got to give the other team credit, yada, 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 yada. It just feels like everything is falling apart. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if I got a Rex Ryan has resigned deal. I would not be surprised at that.
Yeah, the Bills are fragile. They're in a fragile state right now. They're 0-2.
They're dysfunctional.
But it could be a case where if the Cardinals go on the road and jump out early, I can easily see the Bills being like, well, we're 0-3.
The line is 5. The total's 49. That seems like low, doesn't it? 5? I know it's East Coast. I know it's 10 a.m.
The Bills are getting 3 for being the home team. So Vegas thinks the Cardinals are 8 points better than the Bills, essentially.
But don't you think they're double-digit points better?
No.
Oh, I do.
I don't. I would set it at around 8.
I mean, the way Carson is throwing, he's not throwing it with zip. But the deal was, as the game progressed, and he's finding guys just blowing free. And Buffalo's secondary.
Yeah, they gave up a lot of points against the Jets last
year. Yeah, they stink.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick threw for like almost 400 yards.
Fitzpatrick. It's not Carson Palmer.
The Amish Rifle. Great nickname.
The Amish Rifle. So this helmet, I guess where I come down on this is it's fine. Eric brought up earlier that it looks like the Louisville Cardinal helmet on the college end. We don't want teams to look like colleges, but they've not done anything with the helmet. They've said, you know, we have our new logo. You're using the old logo. And you look at it, it's like, okay.
The bird looks meaner or something. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's pretty similar.
It's fine.
It's a little tiny change.
But again, some people are completely wound up about this stuff. It'll get lots of page views. It'll get lots of clicks. People talk about it on social media. It doesn't mean anything. I guess I'm looking at it like, well, you know, a helmet. There are some players on this team that can play, so I'm fine with that. Sports360AZ.com, we partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports, there's plenty of content up on our website that you can check out at Sports360AZ.com. We have our TV show that airs tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmatz Football AZ. 7 airings today and tomorrow and the next day, and it's all good. Appreciate their support. Our chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. Gets it done. Of course, Eric gets it done as well through the years. It's great having him with us. Thanks for being with us as well.